We're good, yeah.
Okay, so I think we're ready to get started. Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Okay, we're moving on to item two, which is the roll call, please.
Yes, Commissioner Collins.
Present.
Great. Commissioner Lieberman.
Here.
Commissioner Audi.
Here.
Commissioner Aguirre.
Here.
Great.
Great, thank you. Moving on to item three, the Pledge of Allegiance. Please join me as we salute our flag. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America. And to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, liberty,
and justice for all.
Thank you. Okay, next is a public comment.
Yes, we have not received any written public comments prior to the meeting, and on your screen, for anybody that's attending, there are instructions on how to provide public comments during the course of the meeting. So we'll just keep our eyes open to see if anybody writes anything.
Okay, thank you. We have a new item, motion number five. A motion to discuss a new possible action update.
Right, we wanted to add an item under 8D for discussion, and I'll let Christine chime in as to what the motion would be.
Thank you, Teresa. Good morning, commissioners. Since the posting of the agenda, Governor Newsom signed into law AB 361, which amends certain provisions of the Brown Act to allow remote meetings during emergency conditions. AB 61 is mentioned in your staff report for item AD, but as of the date of the writing, the bill had not been signed by the governor. I would recommend that the commission, in order to consider this item, that we add an urgency item to the agenda based on the finding that the item arose after the posting of the agenda, and there is a need for immediate action, which cannot wait until the next regular meeting because of the nature of AB 61, which requires a determination and adoption of a resolution every 30 days. I believe that the motion can be made under these circumstances, and it requires a vote of 2/3 of the commission to pass to add the item. So I would recommend that a motion be made to add an urgency item under the Brown Act to the agenda.
I'll move that.
I'll second.
Okay, the motion has been moved and second. Roll call, please.
Yes, Commissioner Collins.
Yes.
Commissioner Lieberman.
Yes.
Commissioner Audi.
Yes.
Commissioner Aguirre.
Yes.
Thank you.
Okay, moving on to item six.
We're still in item five, our reports.
Oh, I'm sorry. That's right. I'm looking at the wrong one. Okay, safety moments.
Yes, so item 5A is our safety moment for the month, and the topic this month is emotional well-being, and this is something that we pay a lot of attention to at SBCW, along with our physical well-being. We talk a lot about mental and emotional well-being. So in the agenda write-up, there's some good tips on how to continue to be emotionally healthy, and something that's important for us to all consider as we continue through the turmoil that the pandemic is continuing. So I won't read it verbatim, but there's some good tips in there, and I suggest that folks take a peek at it.
Great. Any questions? Thank you, Teresa. Appreciate the safety moments. I'm moving on to manager's report.
Yes, I wanted Matt to give an update on our notes pricing that happened last week. Matt?
Sure, thank you. This is real quick, following last month's commission item of approving the two WIFI loans and the two series of notes. I think you got emails from Teresa that the WIFI loans were executed at a very good rate, 1.93, 1.94%. Last Tuesday, we issued 140 some odd million of notes for construction, half of which for rescue, the remainder for treatment plant projects. The interest rates on those loans, as you see on this slide, were around 0.26% for the rescue portion and 0.51% for the treatment plant. So these are around 2.5 years and 4.5 years of construction money, respectively. The combined savings on these is around $7 million. So we're very pleased with those results. This is, as we keep saying, the final significant debt transaction associated with our known capital improvement program. So a nice way to cap our project. The following slide shows what the results are, and that is the gold line here represents where we are now in terms of locked in debt service as compared to the past 5 years of long-range finance plans. You'll see they ranged anywhere from hitting a $45 million plateau until now we are, you know, closer to $40 million. So a fair amount of money has been saved through this program, and that's a direct result of the commission support for us to get the SRF loans and the WIFIA loans locked in over the last few years. So again, a nice way to measure our success here, and we're pleased to have it done.
Thank you, Matt. This is when Matt showed me this chart, I was really impressed with it. I mean, I think it shows a really good story, tells a really good story. Commissioner Lieberman has a question.
I do. Thank you. Matt, this is such an excellent chart. Are you able to send this out to all of us so we can share this with our staffs?
Yeah, we will absolutely will. I think Teresa will want to do that after this meeting.
Thank you.
And we do have, like, the staff will get like a lot of detail behind it, all the debt service payments associated with each series of debt, just so that they can incorporate these things into their own rates plannings, as we've been doing each year as well.
Yeah, I just like to be able to share this. This is great overview for the rest of the council to see.
Great.
Okay, any other questions?
Just one comment. It's nice to know that we'll be in great shape by the time I'm 109.
Thank you, Commissioner. Okay, if I see no other hands up, the financial report.
There are no other comments to what is included in the packet, unless there are questions. Thank you.
And item D, engineering capital report.
Hi, good morning. I have nothing additional apart from the written report.
Any questions?
Similarly, on item 5E, there's nothing to report.
Okay. And item F?
No comments beyond the written report, unless there are questions.
See no hands up, then moving on to matters of commission interest.
Madam Chair, I have one item, very quick.
Yes.
Teresa, in the written agenda that I receive, or in the written information, it has on it where it says website. On the hard copy, it has like a link to access meeting, but it doesn't actually have the link itself on the hard copy. I wonder, on just for the sake of transparency, if you could make sure that the link itself is included, so that if somebody does get the hard copy, they're able to reference it.
Yes, we will certainly do that. Good suggestion.
Thank you very much. That's all I have.
Great. Item number seven, consideration of motion approving consent calendar.
I will move the consent calendar if there are no comments.
I'll second that.
Commissioner Lieberman and Commissioner Adi, roll call, please.
Yes, Commissioner Collins.
Yes.
Commissioner Lieberman.
Yes.
Commissioner Adi.
Yes.
Commissioner Aguirre.
Yes. All right, moving on to item 8A, public hearing.
Yes, so this is a public hearing considering approval of proposed substantial modifications to SBCW's industrial pretreatment program local limits by the San Francisco Bay Regional Water Quality Control Board. This is in accordance with the requirements set forth in Government Code Section 40 CFR 403.18. And I'm going to have Monty, our Chief Operating Officer, make the presentation on this item prior to opening to the public hearing. Monty?
Good morning, SBCW Commissioners. Thank you for taking the time to let us present this important change in our local limits. Head on to the next slide, please. The local limits are set by SBCW to protect the wastewater treatment facility. As we've gotten some public comments, some of the people thought that the limits were actually what we limited ourselves to discharge out into the bay or into recycled water, and that's not the case. This is to actually protect our treatment process, as our processes can handle a fair amount of industrial loads. We limit the chemicals that can be discharged by different industries. We also limit things like pH and conductivity, things that aren't chemically based, but they have an effect on our processes. So they're originally established in 1990. Every year we've been just going through, every 3 years, excuse me, we've been going through a reevaluation. We look at them, they look okay. And there's been enough significant changes. Next slide, please. That, as you can see, our service areas changed considerably. The number of industries that we've had have gone down. The property so valuable a lot, and the regulatory pressure on a lot of these industrial discharges has increased. So a lot of the industries have either closed or they've moved to other states. And the price of property, I mean, the property that a lot of these places are sitting on is very, very valuable. So a lot of industries has left. As you can see from the industrial flows in 1990, there's 1.38 MGD, and now today it's 0.28. So a considerable drop. And that's been offset by a lot of multifamily dwellings now. As you've seen around your local agencies, there's been a lot of construction and a lot of high-rise apartment complexes. So that's kind of taken the place of some of the industrial discharges. Next slide, please. So what we've had to do, and this is part of our permit requirement that we got in 2018, was due to the significant changes in our service area and our industrial flow, the regional board has requested that we reevaluate and update our local limits, which we did. We completed and submitted the reevaluation with the new limits in 2019, and we have conditional approval pending a public hearing and the adoption of the new local limits. Next slide, please. So advertised August 26th through September 2nd in the local publications, newspapers. Today, we're having a public hearing. We've received two inquiries or two comments, and both have been answered. And this is basically the approved, the modified local limits will happen. We'll bring it back to the commission for approval on October 18th. Next slide, please. So the recommendation is to open the public hearing and receive testimony, if there is any, and then close the public hearing and submit the report of comment to the water board. And then again, we'll bring this back October 18th meeting for approval by the commission. Do you have any questions? Also, this has been shared with all of the member agencies. Our local limits have been shared with them.
Commissioner Lieberman?
Thank you, Chair. Monty, thank you very much for this. I wanted to get just a little bit of clarification. In the staff report, there were two tables. The top table, which is the existing and proposed local limits for Silicon Valley Clean Water, are those proposed values the limits of what can be discharged by Silicon Valley or what we can receive from companies in waste, in their wastewater?
It's what we can receive from companies in their wastewater to the treatment plant.
Okay. And so we're allowing them to, shall we say, send us wastewater with higher concentrations of a lot of these chemicals because our processes can handle that. Is that right?
That's correct. The other part is, and this came up in one of the public comments. One thing is when we had 1.38 million gallons coming to us in 1990, there was a lot of industries, primarily plating shops. There was a lot of plating activities in San